The faith that makes us willing. That is our scripture title this morning, taken from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. This scripture is very appropriate for this day that we'll be taking communion together. As we know, Abraham is a father of generations. And as we'll see, another faith pertaining to Abraham, as the writer of Hebrews tells us this morning, went up on a mountain, and Abraham was going to make the sacrifice. And there was no other sacrifice other than God laid upon Abraham that Isaac would be the one. Even Isaac said, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham said, God will provide. And he did. Amen. But that wasn't the sacrifice of Isaac. Was not God's plan. It was a test in Abraham's life. The test that we all have. And you know, when we become a Christian, the tests begin right then. if you've noticed, it doesn't take long. Satan starts working, trying to test us and tempt us and so forth. But God's test is to bring out the good, to make us stronger and grow in our faith and mature spiritually. So as we look at this text this morning, it's a perfect text as it leads us to the true sacrifice that God sent his only begotten son. And the scripture will say Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son, but he wasn't the sacrifice God intended. But as we know, Jesus Christ came in this world, and he became the world, the only sacrifice, once and for all sacrifice for all mankind, which this is a very appropriate of the title, the faith that makes us willing, okay, to be obedient, just like Abraham. So if you'll follow along with me, beginning with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type of sacrifice. Now, a lot of information right there in those three verses, as I just read. And here in this particular passage of scripture, we encounter another example of faith. We, a week or so ago, we encountered or witnessed the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And now we see another type of example of faith. This example illustrates that faith manifests itself in actions. So that's where I come up with this, the faith that makes us willing, through our actions, through our obedience. Now, Abraham's faith is illustrated not by what he believed, but what he did. And there's a difference. You know, we believe, but it's how we follow through with our actions that makes the difference and shows our obedience. Now, Abraham's obedience in the test of sacrificing the child of promise definitely declares his complete faith in God and his promises that was going to be fulfilled. And Jesus came in this world to fulfill the promises that God had sent him into this world. He said, I came into this world not to abolish the law, but that it might be fulfilled. And he completed that. He stated that on the cross when he gave up the spirit, or when he died. So looking at the scripture this morning, faith in God is able to sustain us even through the very severe tests that come about because of our faith. And believe me, you will be tested in this life. It's how we hold up under that test. Through our obedience and through our trust, we can stand firm on the foundations of Christ. Now, these tests for the growth and blessings come because we are obedient to the will of God. So let's look, first of all, at the testing of faith. And we see that here in the first part of verse 17, the theme of testing now emerges as the author returned. Now, he focused on Abraham and Sarah earlier. Now he returns to Abraham to continue the event of Abraham's obedience in his testing him of Isaac. So let's look at this first, just the first part of this verse again, and take a real close look of what the author of this particular chapter, or the book of Hebrews, is turning us towards and wanting us to see about the heroes of faith. Now, it says, I just went by there, but by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now, boy, this is a dramatic account of Abraham's supreme test, and it is also recorded in Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 18. If you want to go back or go to that today sometime and read it, you will see the test that Abraham was put to, and is one of the most interesting in the Old Testament. As I read, I said, this is really interesting, because because of the event of Abraham, you know, his faith, and he and Sarah had prayed and waited for a long, long time to have a son. Even in their old age, they had given up because they thought there was no possibility. Now, here he was confronted about using Isaac as his only begotten son, as the scripture says, to put him on the altar to be sacrificed. That takes faith. A really faith that, you know, that you and I probably will never be tested, but we are tested in other ways. And how does our faith, what are we willing to give up in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord? So the voice of God was crystal clear as I read this, and it was crystal clear in Abraham's heart as it shuddered the silence of that moment. I couldn't even imagine, but that's what happened. Now, the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is despitely wicked, and who can know it? Who can know it? The Lord not only tests us and tries us so that we know what is in our hearts, but also because of faith, that it can't be tested is faith that can't be trusted. Now, as we, you know, go along through life, God tests us, our faith, and he does it in order to make us stronger and more mature. It not to make us weak or make us angry or anything like that, but it's to make us strong, more dependent on him. And when I think about the test that went on in Apostle Paul's life, when he had that thorn in his flesh, and he prayed three times, Lord, remove this, and I can be a much better servant to you. I can do much greater things for you. And God said, no, I'm going to leave it there. And he prayed again, the second time and the third time. And then Paul realized, well, when I am weak, I am strong in the Lord. God said, you can serve me better. That way you won't be dependent upon yourself, but you will be dependent upon me, and your faith in me and your obedience will get you through. Now, as we look at this even further, this testing of Abraham's faith teaches us that we must be ready to sacrifice what is dearest to us for the sake of being loyal to God. And, you know, that's hard for us to comprehend sometimes, but that's the way God works. Abraham would have sacrificed the dearest thing in life for God, and it was his only son. See, God doesn't want us to sacrifice our child on the altar, but he will ask us to give him the place of what we hold dearest to us in this world. And you might want to think about that. So what is the dearest thing in my life I would be willing to give up for the Lord? There's a lot of things that that can come to our mind, you know, things that we hold on to. And they can be anything, material things. It can be a close relationship. It can be family, whatever. What are we willing to offer up to God for his blessings in our life? So God is to come first in our lives, and we have not acknowledged him for who he is if we don't. Where is our faith? See, in obedience, Jesus asks that you and me give him preeminence in our lives. He gave the Heavenly Father preeminence in his life, and he was in obedience in all ways. The second thing I want us to see in this passage of Scripture this morning, faith in the promises. The promise was given by God, and they were searched out as the heroes of the book of chapter 11, or Hebrews 11, as they, in obedience, trusted God, never claimed the promises, never saw them in their lifetime here on this earth, but they was looking forward to even further than what was promised here on this earth, to the eternal things. And, you know, I shared that in some of the messages, and that's, you know, that should be a focus in our life as well. You know, we're looking for the eternal things of that's going to be, that we will see one of these days. And the promises that we're claiming now and we're looking forward to are the eternal things. Now, the sacrifice was to be a long-awaited son of the promise in the last part of verse 17, the latter part of 17 and verse 18. So look with me again in the second part of verse 17. And he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. And then verse 18 says, it was to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. So, again, Abraham is an example of a man who accepts what he cannot understand. We are to do the same thing, right? Accept what we don't understand. He accepted it. Why? Because he trusted God. If we don't understand something in our lives, the test that's going on in our life, trust God anyway. He'll take care of the circumstances. We will do our part in obedience. And on the human side, sometimes, you know, we can't think that far ahead. We can't comprehend those things when we're going through them because they're so dramatic in our lives. But if we only think about the test that God is to bring out the best in our life, to make us better, make us stronger, then we can endure through that test. So to him, there had come an incomprehensible demand on his life, on Abraham's life. In human terms, it didn't make sense. When you're going through a test, does it make sense? Can you analyze it and say, well, now I know I'm going through this for this reason? No, we don't think of it that way, do we? Then why is this happening? Why does things happen this way? Well, sometimes it's get our attention, right? God's got my attention a lot of times. A lot of times. And as you've heard me say, I used to pray for patience. Well, I don't do that anymore because you wore me out with them. So now I pray for the strength for each task that God lays before me, and I find that that works really well. The strength for the task that God lays before us, that we will endure and persevere through the hardships in this world, and the sufferings and the pain and anguish of the physical body, physical life. So the promise was that the descendants of Isaac would grow and grow until he became a mighty, mighty nation. And exactly that's what has taken place over the generations of Abraham and the promise that God made him. Now, on the life of Isaac depended on the promise, and now God wanted him to take that life. Now, he said, we think, well, that doesn't make sense. But the word of God always prevails in the fight and the promises of God. It does, the word of God. Because as Psalms 89:15 says, it was settled in heaven long ago. Whatever is settled in heaven, it's the same for us here on this earth. Now, there comes a time in every believer's life, I believe, when God demands obedience, which defies any reason, right? And you've experienced that, and I have. And it's then that man faces the hardest battles to accept or to do what he cannot understand. So, we don't understand, then you pray. Well, James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask for it. If you need understanding, discernment, word of God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you've heard me say this as well. The Holy Spirit is a lot of times our most neglected friend. We ignore or we don't even think about it in the times that we're going through testing or hardships or something in our life. We don't even think about calling on the Holy Spirit or the Lord or the Trinity. Okay, help me understand this. Help me to better understand what this test or what I'm undergoing, what the purpose and reason is for this. God don't mind for us to ask. Helps us with our obedience and our trust in him even more that he will provide an answer. That scripture that was read this morning by Bob, those who wait upon the Lord. We don't go and sit in the corner and wait that way, but as we're waiting for God to give us an answer, then we are strengthened by that wait, trusting him, and we will not grow weary or faint under the load that we're carrying at that time. So we are to wait. That whole chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, is a great chapter. Read it today and see what the message there that Isaiah was telling the people, the Hebrew people, to be. And it couldn't be more appropriate to end with that last verse. After Isaiah was telling the people about the things they were enduring and going through to trust the Lord, and then wait. Just wait and you'll see the results. They're going to be great. That's what Isaiah is telling us. And Abraham realized that it was for God, not Abraham himself, to reconcile the promise and that command. As I was reading and analyzing or trying to discern that, that's how I saw it. See this verse. And he was to promptly, quickly, I would say, obey, for God could be trusted to keep his promise. Even it took supernatural means. And God always provides that. All right, the last thing is thinking of faith, okay? So we saw the testing of faith, and we saw faith in this promises. Now, thinking of faith in verse 19, which says, he considered that God is able. So even if he did sacrifice his son, he knew that God was able. According to this, raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type of sacrifice. Now, Abraham, see, even Abraham himself, with his obedience and his faith, he reasoned, he thought through the process. Even Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the churches and when there was bickering and complaining going on, he said, let us sit down and reason together. Let's think about this and see what the outcome is going to be. And it's always going to be a positive outcome when God is in the midst of it. And Abraham knew that, but he reasoned, according to what the scripture is saying, that since fulfillment of the promise depended upon Isaac's survival, then God was bound to restore Isaac's life. That's what he was thinking that was going to take place if his life had been taken. Now, so Abraham fully accepted to offer his only begotten son on the sacrifice of offering, and just as fully expected, God would raise his body out of the ashes of the burnt offering. Now, to verify that or give you confirmation on that, read Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. That was what Abraham was thinking if he had followed through, or God had allowed him or demanded him to do that. Now, it was God's part to raise the dead. It was Abraham's duty. Look at this with me, to obey. It was God's part to raise the dead, Abraham's duty to obey. Now, God had given him Isaac when he and Sarah were physically old to childbearing. And this event portrayed ahead of the time only of God's son, God's only begotten son, being raised from the dead so God could keep his word in John 8:56, which says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's what John said in conjunction with Jesus Christ and Abraham. Abraham, because of his faith and obedience, foresaw this event, the sacrifice of God's only son and his resurrection from the dead. You see the picture there? Abraham saw what we didn't, or what we don't always see. The scripture points it out because of the clarity and confirmation that is given us through all the gospels about Jesus Christ, even back in the Old Testament. See, the prophets, were foretold. They saw the revelation and the inspiration of the scriptures that was given to them, the foresight of things to come. And that's what Abraham saw. He trusted in God. He was obedient. He knew that even though he offered up Isaac, God would bring him back, would resurrect him. Now, in closing, you and I need not to be afraid. I've thought about this as I was studying this, scriptures. We need not be afraid to trust God with our most prized possession, our dreams, or persons. We need to be afraid. Abraham wasn't. He trusted God. Abraham was willing to give up everything for God. Everything. He received back more than he could have imagined. Think about the life of Job. Everything was stripped from the life of Job. And he still had faith. He still trusted God, even though he had nothing left in life except the breath that he breathed. And yet he said, you know, no matter what, you know, God's in control. And sure enough, at the end, he received much more back than he had lost because he trusted God. Now, our best and our greatest rewards await us in eternity. And see, that's the promises that Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about. The promises that the journeys they were on, looking for those promises, they are eternity promises. And what comes first in your life today? Think about that. What comes first in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? What are the things you dwell the most? I want you to think about that this morning in relationship to what our scripture is talking about. It helps us to put a different perspective on life and what we really is right here in our heart. What is the most important thing to us? See, God may test you to see if you are willing to walk the walk of faith. He may do that. And he may already have done that. And you're here today because of your faith. And we must respond to God's way of reasoning and take his word. And by doing so, we will base our reasoning by faith on that. Just like Abraham did. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the scriptures that you give us to help increase our faith and our trust in you. And I pray that we took this scripture, this message to heart. That we are to live by faith. And we are to walk the faith that you have placed within our lives. Just like Abraham did. You know, he was just an ordinary person just like us, but he did extraordinary things because of you. And we're just ordinary people, and you do extraordinary things through our lives because we make ourselves available. And our heart's in the right place. We put you first. That's what we have to do. If not, we'll know it. And that's where the testing begins. It gets harder and harder and harder until we realize, oh, I'm going the wrong direction here. My thinking is all wrong. My heart's in the wrong place. I need to get God's perspective and not mine. And when we put you first in our life, everything else works out accordingly. That's the best way, and that's the only way. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, who loved us so much to give us that life. Now we are partakers of the kingdom of God and the promises that lay before us. May we persevere on each day not giving up, but keeping our focus and our heart set on eternal things and not this world itself. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.